Take your Bibles and turn with me to John the 11th chapter. John the 11th chapter. It's not anything that any of us want to go through, but the Lord uses brokenness to build us. And sometimes tears to bring us to the place that He wants us to be at. Suffering and pain are worked in that. And He uses broken vessels, broken pots. A story is told of someone using a bucket with a hole in it to go to the spring to get water, continued to do that. And as the bucket was carried back to the house, it didn't have as much in it because it leaked as the other bucket. But the side that the bucket was carried on that leaked grew flowers, and the other side didn't. God uses brokenness in our lives. And we're going to look at a family today who faced brokenness in their life. And there's a lot of questions perhaps this family could have asked. Lord, as close as we were to You, why did You allow this to happen to us? Why would You allow this, Lord, in my life? What did I do to deserve this? It'll be a very familiar story with most of you. It's the story of the raising of Lazarus from the dead. And it comes in John the 11th chapter. John the 11th chapter. And I'm not going to be able to read the entire passage, but hopefully you'll know it well enough to know the background, and you'll know it well enough to know the verses that you'll need to fit into that passage. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word, John the 11th chapter, and beginning with verse 39. And Jesus said, "Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldst believe, thou shouldst see the glory of God?" You get that? That's pretty deep stuff. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Now someone has said that had he not called Lazarus by his name, everyone in the graveyard would have got up. But he called Lazarus by his name because he had a purpose in raising Lazarus from the dead. And we're going to discover later on that Jesus tells us what the purpose was. And the purpose wasn't to bring glory to Lazarus. And the purpose wasn't to bring glory to Bethany. The purpose was to bring glory to God, so that Jesus would be lifted up. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave cloths. And his face was bound about with a napkin. You get that picture? Are you seeing that? Jesus saith unto them, those that were around, loose him and let him go. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne, we know, Lord, that unless you do the preaching, it's going to be a zero. Lord, we pray that you'd open our spiritual eyes today to see the truth of your word. I pray for those who are in the midst and in the throes of the battle. And I pray, Lord, that they would be able to see beyond the little shell here that might cover this up, but they'd be able to see beyond that into the depths of your glory, into the depths of where you would bring us as your children. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The place is Bethany. The people involved are close friends of Jesus, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Verse 2 gives us a little background. Actually, it's not background, it's forward. I put the wrong word there. Let's us see forward just a little about Mary and Martha. And it tells us Mary is the one who anointed Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And that takes place in chapter 12. We're reading from chapter 11 before Lazarus was raised from the dead. Or at the time that Lazarus is raised from the dead. Now I hope that you can get that picture in your mind also of where this event and the events that they were involved in has brought Mary to. Well, that's a message of its own. I wish we had time. We'd just spend all afternoon talking about where that brought her to. You see, brokenness brings us to a place of worship. And if brokenness does not bring us to a place of worship, we've not experienced what God wants us to experience through it. Lazarus gets sick and dies. And that's going to happen to us eventually. We might die in our sleep without suffering or being very sick beforehand, but eventually, unless Jesus comes and raptures the church, you're going to get sick and die. Now listen to me closely. If you are healed, if the Lord decides to heal you in your sickness, it will not be to bring glory to you or some TV evangelist that sent you a handkerchief that he prayed over for you to lay on in order for you to be healed. If you get healed, it will be because that God wants to bring glory to his Son, and not to you, but glory to his Son. And we're going to see that in just a little while. When Jesus gets the message, he waits two more days. So by the time that Jesus shows up, Lazarus has been dead for 4 days. Verse 4 tells us that God has a purpose in Lazarus' sickness. Would you look back a little ways in chapter 11? And look at verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death." Well, he's already dead. No, he's not. He's already sick. He's dying. But Jesus says, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Look with me at the book of Hebrews over in the back of the New Testament. Just keep turning until you get to it. Hebrews, James. If you get to James, turn back like I did to Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Look at verse 14. Seeing then, paying attention, but being able to view this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. Who is that, by the way? Who? Jesus. Jesus is the high priest. We have a great high priest. Jesus is the high priest. You see, he's taken the place of the high priest. There is none now other than Jesus. Jesus is the high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Hold on firmly. Doesn't mean that you're holding to keep from losing it. It's not that. It's holding in such a way. I want to mark so I get right back here. It's holding, not because if you didn't hold on, you'd lose your salvation. That's not what this passage is talking about. It's talking about that folks lose the grip of what this passage is teaching. They lose their grip on that. Do you ever lose your grip on what Jesus has taught about always being with you, never forsaking you, needing to hold on to that at a time most needed? So it's not to hold on to it to keep you from losing your salvation, because if you're saved, you cannot lose your salvation. And by the way, you can't lose something that you've never had. You can't lose it. I've entitled this point, Take the Mercy and Accept the Help. It's not losing that. It's not grabbing hold of that. It is like the lady who or the guy who ate crackers and cheese on the ship until he finally landed, and he talks to the captain of the ship and he said, I hadn't seen you in the dining hall. And he said, I didn't have enough money to buy anything to eat. And he said, don't you know when you bought your ticket, that came with it? The food came with it. We as Christians need to realize the food comes with it. The mercy and the grace comes with it when we accept Christ as our Savior. The mercy and the help comes with it. This is what he says. Seeing then that we have this great high priest, verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. That word infirmities literally means weaknesses. With our weaknesses. But was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. So the writer moves into another place here. It's not weakness in the area of sickness. It's weakness in the area of sin. Are you following? Do you get where he's going here? That we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, with the weakness that you and I are going through. And then he moves to a place that we are to understand that it's not the sickness, but it is the sin that the Bible says doth so easily beset us. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. This is what the Message Bible says in that passage. Now that we know what we have. You know what you have? Jesus, this great high priest, with ready access to God. Let's not let it slip through our fingers. We don't have a priest who is out of touch with our reality. He's been through weakness and testing, experienced it all but the sin. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. The Amplified Bible puts it this way. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has already ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession of faith in him. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have a shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liabilities. So to the assaults of temptation, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace, the throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and find grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help and well-timed help coming just when we need it. Just when we need it. Now get back over to Mary and Martha and Lazarus in this 11th chapter of John. Does Jesus weep when we weep?